15 years ago today, on June 19, 2002, a little company called TNA Wrestling came into existence in the Von Braun Civic Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Joining me to talk about that 15 years later is none other than pretty much Mr. TNA himself, Jeremy Borash. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm good, Garrett. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I figure, like, who better to talk to than, like, literally the person who has been to every TNA show ever? I think you're the only one left that's been there.
Yeah. The whole
time.
That's true. Yeah, true. They can't get rid of me. Today's a pretty monumental day, as you mentioned, and perfect time to kind of reflect back 15 years ago. It's hard. I mean, it's impossible to believe how long that's, you know, it's gone by that fast. But I look back and go, wow, what a wild ride it's been, and, you know, the ride's far from over. So that night, you know, it's kind of interesting to look back and knowing what we've learned since then, and, you know, it's been a 15-year college education, essentially. You know, you're right in the middle of everything. So it's a real big day for me, and, you know, personally just devoting most of your life to something for 15 years nonstop is something to kind of fun to look back and celebrate on this day, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, has it dragged by, if you think about, like, that show 15 years ago, all that time back in Huntsville, does it seem like an age away, or does it just seem like yesterday?
Well, here's where I'm going to go deep on you here, Garrett, but, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, where time flies by very quickly is when you're doing the same thing every day, and it's Groundhog Day. You know, you're not going to remember going to work one day versus the other if you're doing basically the same thing every day. So being in the same place every day has been great, but, you know, I've never really done the same thing every day. So it's just, you know, getting an opportunity to really try every facet of the business in one way, shape, or form by default, or whatever happened, you know, when somebody leaves, it opens up opportunity and that kind of thing. So I've just kind of always been the guy that's filled the gap, I think, in 15 years where something's needed, I can go and do that. So, yeah, I guess it's never been a monotonous day, never been a day the same, and I guess that's why it's been interesting all this time.
You've worn an awful lot of hats through the years.
Few hats. But it's good. You know, I really feel like it's been an education, and, you know, it's more than just going to work every day. It's learning something new, or, you know, business, whatever it is, from video to business to legal things. It's, yeah, it's a constant education, you know, so it's great. It's been a lot of fun. It's been amazing to think about how quickly it's gone by.
So I want to go back to, like, say, May 2002, when, when you were forming the company, were you, like, trying to think of how can we do something that's, like, different? We kind of have to learn from why WCW and ECW didn't really, well, they worked, but they went under in the long run. And we have to try and create something new for, like, the modern pro wrestling market. What was like going through your minds back then?
Well, I was actually at the time, I was living in Australia, and I was doing the World Wrestling All-Stars with Andrew McManus. So I got the call from Jeff saying, all right, we're gonna pull the trigger on this. It's going to happen. Can you move back home? And, you know, I was enjoying life quite fruitfully in Australia. Mr. McManus has been very successful over the years. So, you know, I was living in a very, very large mansion and having a lot of fun. And, you know, we were doing, you know, a wrestling company. And so I was like, wow, I can't get any better than this. And so the only decision was really at that point was, you know, what could make me go back to America. And sure enough, just as closely as I had gotten to work with Jeff, this thing actually taken off, getting the green light, and it was actually going to happen. I was on the first plane out. So it was kind of a, for a lot of us, just drop everything you're doing. This thing's happening. And I guess that's the biggest thing, I think, looking back in 15 years. It's been how, you know, I've been blessed to have this experience, which not, you know, maybe a handful of people, 2, 3, 4, where you're literally sitting somewhere with an idea and you see it all the way through to, you know, something that's seen around the world, you know, and we're no different than, you know, any other two guys just sitting around, three guys sitting around talking about an idea. So to have that ride is at times bumpy as it's been, you know, that to have that experience and literally just sit around and talking about ideas to actually see it all the way through and, you know, still around today is so yeah it was a mind-blowing experience. That was it, just to have that. So, you know, I don't regret a day, and it's always been a wild ride just to have that, you know, is something that's you can't share that experience with a lot of people on earth because they've never experienced it.
Do you have like distinct memories of that first show, or does it just seem like a blur?
Oh yeah, no, I got it. I remember just because I don't remember a lot of shows. Like, probably for years at a time. There's lots of things I don't remember. Just from the ring breaking before the first match, before we were going live. Things that, and I had done wrestling for years, before in WCW, so it wasn't a foreign idea of going out there and doing a show. But the fact it was ours and the fact that we came up with it and it was going to, you just took it a lot more personally. So first thing I remember, very first thing I remember is getting in the ring for the first time. Some of the crowd started chanting TNA before we even went on the air. And the first thing I remember is like, well, and I came from a fan of ECW. It's like, wow, these letters are easy to chant. I said, that's a good thing. It's something the fans can, and right away it picked up. So that was the very first memory I remember thinking when I got in the ring and hearing that chant was, oh, these letters actually have some rhythm to them, So I thought that was a good thing. I just remember that very first thing. Then, of course, the ring breaks and it complete hell broke loose and we fixed it. But it was, from then on, it was a wild ride.
I can't imagine that panic that you're launching this big national wrestling company live on pay-per-view and like literally minutes beforehand in the dark match with Cheeks of all people, nearly tanks the entire show.
Nearly tanked the entire show, yeah. And it was, one of those things we didn't feel comfortable enough putting him on the main show. So like, well, let's take a look at this important show. And, we need a couple of matches in there first to make sure everything is ready when we go live. So those production glitches, whatever happens. And then sure enough, it just happened that we put together. It was way too big to be in there, obviously, for the stability of the ring. And that's what happened. So
hey, that match did air on that. I think it aired in the second weekly pay-per-view, didn't it?
Did it?
I think that match did air.
You know what? It's online somewhere, so you might be right. I actually don't even remember. I always thought it was just a dark match. You might be right. It did. Maybe it was Explosion. I don't know.
So like that
hey, I'm, by the way, can I just tell you something, Garrett? Can I have a surprise running guest on you real quick? You don't even know this.
Go on.
Yeah, I'm sitting next to one of the most renowned superstars ever come out of the United Kingdom. Now, you know what? I'll just put him on the phone and let you see if you can guess, okay?
Are you doing, mate? You all right? It's yourself.
How are things, Grado? Grado, did you watch the original TNA show?
Here's an interesting fact. Here's a really interesting fact. So the first TNA show went out in London the 19th of June, is that right?
Yep.
I guarantee you that I was the first person in Scotland to see that show because, obviously maybe live in a day where torrents are online and stuff ends up getting put online or we've got international TV deals, TNA's on Spike UK, but back then, there was nothing like that. It was the tape trading business, and I got somebody to send me the tape on the Thursday morning, and I got it on the Monday morning in Scotland, so I'm getting the bottom dollar. I'll put up against anybody in Scotland. I was the first person to watch that first TNA show. Is that an interesting fact? I don't know if it is.
That's an interesting fact. Do you actually remember anything about it?
Do I remember anything about it?
Yeah.
I do remember it. I remember the Flying Elvises versus Jerry Lynn versus Luke, and it was the first AJ was the first match, and it blew me away. And then what else can I remember? I remember the Rumble, the first show as well, and I just remember going, oh, this is going to be cool. Oh, and Scott Hall got through the crowd as well. That was cool. And he ended up using one of the best TNA theme songs of all time, and that was the first night that I was ever played, a song called Marvelous Me.
It's a hell of a song.
It's a hell of a song. That was the first time. So yeah, great to be part of this great company, and I'll be celebrating tonight. I'll be raising a toast. I've been raising a couple of beers tonight for the anniversary, the 15-year anniversary. Yeehaw!
Thanks very much, Grado.
Keep in mind, he doesn't really need an excuse to raise any beers. That's just it.
This is Daddy Day.
Yeah,
it's fair enough.
Yes.
You bring up the Flying Elvises, by the way, whose theme song you did sing a bit of.
Do you remember the names of the Flying Elvises?
There's Jimmy Yang, Jorge Estrada, and Sonny Siaki.
You got them. Wow. You and Grado answered at the exact same time, whereas I, who was ring announced the show, can't remember which. No, I cannot. It's been a long time. I haven't gone back and watched a lot of that, so it's kind of disappeared. A lot of it's disappeared from my...
So when you think back on that, was there any doubt that, 15 years later, the company is still here? In recent times, there's been some turmoil, and back in the day, there was some turmoil. Was there any stage where you're like... I don't think it's going to make it.
No, I've never once, actually, believe it or not, I've never once thought that, because what we went through that first year blows away anything that's happened since in terms of you know, are we going away? Are we, you know, what's happening here? So that first year burned me out so much to the idea that this thing wasn't going to happen that now I don't even, nothing fazes me. So I've never once lived in fear that my check wasn't going to be there the next week. And so it's actually been, I'm glad we had that first year. And actually, coming from the end of WCW, where that was 10 times worse than anything I've ever experienced, going into a tumultuous situation out of the gate with a startup TNA, I was actually, you know, very, very, I wasn't fazed by a lot of it because I'd been through some pretty crazy stuff already.
So, when you know, you've worn a lot of hats through the years. As we talked about, you've been a ring announcer, you've done like backstage announcer, you've been a producer, stuff like British Boot Camp.
Yeah.
Is there anything that stands out, anything that stands out in your mind that's kind of a highlight of the last 15 years, either in front of the camera or behind it?
You know what? I think for me personally, because, you know, what you do in front of the camera is what you do. I think British Boot Camp stands out for me. Just because I was an executive producer, creator, and, you know, and it was, I was proud of it, and I was proud of the product, and I was proud of the talent we used on it, and if you look at a lot of where the talent's gone since being on that show, not directly necessarily from that show, but just the fact that we saw people, saw talent in these people a long time before the rest of the world stage got to, you know, that was a pretty cool thing, and the production of it, and, you know, everybody that was on that show, I'm still very close with today, so I think everybody love the experience and look back on it and as a life changer. I mean, Spud's life changed dramatically. You know, every day of his life is you know, a difference because of that show. There's a number of people like that. So that's, I guess, looking at the fondness of everything, that still kind of stands out.
And if you kind of look back on the people on that show, you see people like Marty Scurll, even season two, people like Kaylee Ray, Mark Andrews, and they're doing big things across the world now.
Yeah, Nikki Storm, who actually didn't even make it to, and she should have, you know, I mean, if there could have been any more spots, she finished, you know, for all intents and purposes, seventh, but probably should have been higher. She's, you know, an incredible talent. So there were people on that. I think Jack Gallagher was on there too briefly. I don't even know if that made it to the show, but, yeah, there's a lot of names that showed up, and you look back now, it's like, well, there was, you know, got to be a part of that.
And so I suppose we should talk a little about Slammiversary coming up.
Should, yeah. Yeah, I'm in the best shape of my life right now, Gary. You wouldn't believe it.
You're going to be competing.
Best shape of my life.
I looked this up. It will be your fourth match in TNA history.
Is that true?
Yeah, because you were beaten by Eric Bischoff once in, I think it was about 3 seconds.
Yeah, that happened. That happened. Yeah, there was a bell to that, so that was a match, yeah.
EC3 beat you up for a while. That was after he shaved your head.
Yeah, and then I do remember doing a six-man or a handy, what was it?
It was 3-on-2 handicap, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that in Glasgow.
When you took to the air.
And this would be, yeah, I guess this would be four, right?
You have never won a match in TNA history, JP.
Well, no. Actually, this is now, this would be five, because in the first World Wrestling All-Stars pay-per-view in Australia, I was thrown into a company-wide battle royal. Which, you know, so everybody from the cameramen to the announcers could be part of it, and Jerry Lawler threw me into the, I think it was Jerry Lawler. Threw me into the ring, yeah, so I was entered in the battle royal. Yeah. Classic piece of wrestling that just does not get the historic promotion it deserves.
And people, I'm sure those WWE shows are still around somewhere.
They are. They're going to pop up somewhere here soon. I don't get, but those were fun days. But I'll tell you what, you know, going into July 2nd pay-per-view, my record's about to change, my friend. I'm going to let you know right now. The record is about to change. As I said, best shape of my life right now. I genuinely just like Josh Matthews. So this will be an easy fight for me. As long as I can stay away from Steiner, I will probably go away, you know, hopefully with at the very least, no broken bones.
That's all we can hope for, I imagine.
Yeah, I am by no means an athlete. You may look at me and think otherwise, but I lack the athletic ability in pretty much all departments.
Just one last question. How does it feel around TNA right now? Because, you know, with the likes of Dutch Mantel, Scott D'Amore, Jeff Jarrett coming back, it's kind of taking the company back to its roots a little. Does it feel like that?
In some ways, yeah. You know, it's you hang around long enough, you work with everyone from, you know, I've worked with literally hundreds of people behind the scenes. Some you spend more time with, some you don't. I've spent a lot of time with all these guys. So, you know, if you look together at, you know, the people in charge looked at who would be their ideal team, this is the one they put together. So Thrilled that everybody's on board. We all get along great. We all have, I think, a similar creative vision, or at least can get on the same page about one. So, I love working with each one of those guys. There's not a... So in that sense, I love going to work. And if you love going to work, and I think the talent loves going to work, it makes it for a much better environment.
Thanks so much, JB.
You got it.
You can watch Impact Wrestling every week. It's on POP, the Fight Network, at 8 p.m. on Thursdays, 9 on Fridays on Spike UK. And Slammiversary is coming up on July 2nd. You can watch Jeremy Borash and Joseph Park Esquire face Josh Matthews and Scott Steiner in what will certainly be an interesting match.
I promise you that. Promise you.